Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Reveille, reveille, reveille!
Welcome back to another edition of Zero Blog 30. Today we have three rounds of the magazine. Round number one, old Dan Crenshaw and Michael Waltz are back at it again. This time they are recommending Biden orders the military to combat transnational cartels that are smuggling fentanyl into the U.S. Is that a good idea or bad? Round number two, Florida has taken big steps to stop undocumented workers from working in Florida, causing problems all over the Sunshine State. And finally, round number three, we have some good initiative, bad judgment. We have a teacher that showed a Disney movie, a man who blamed his dog when arrested, and a squatter in a lieutenant colonel's house that refuses to leave despite being told to stand at parade rest in the driveway. Let's get going with the actual show. Kate, what do we have for round one?
Yeah, for round number one, we have... I feel like it's leading the news this week. There's a crisis at the border. There's a crisis big time on several different fronts, on both immigration and drugs and all this stuff. It is like a fucking disaster. And then another disaster in the U.S., the fentanyl crisis. Like, that is just absolutely decimating. So anyway, two Republican lawmakers introduced a joint resolution to give President Biden the military authority to combat cartels smuggling fentanyl into the U.S. Reps Dan Crenshaw of Texas and Michael Waltz of Florida. He's been on the show. Lovely guy.
No.
Oh! Tell the story real quick, Chad.
So that was...
It's been long enough. Tell the story.
It's been long enough, and we love him. I still love him. I still talk to him and text him from time to time. Radio Brent. You've been listening to Zero Block 30 for a long period of time, Radio Brent was our longest running producer. I think still that we had. And... Brent, me, Kate, and Cons, we all went to Washington, D.C., and we are going around. We did several interviews with Will Hurd and Duncan Hunter and then Michael Waltz and a couple other, Seth Moulton. We talked to all these different congressmen. Well, one of the last ones that we talked to was Michael Waltz. He's a former Special Forces guy, had a great military background, was from Daytona Beach, pretty near where my grandparents live. So we wanted to have him on the show. We did an interview and it went pretty well, given his positions.
It was a great conversation. I was like, what a cool guy.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah. It was one of our, I would say, with Congress people in there, it was one of our best interviews that we have.
Yeah.
We leave, as soon as we're done, I see Bren has like this green face. He's totally green. And I'm like, what's up, dude? And he starts showing no bearing whatsoever in the hallway. Like, I fucked it up. I can't believe this over and over again.
We're in the quiet Rayburn building surrounded by congresspeople, and he's like, whoa, motherfucker.
It was basically like one of those moments. It was really like, Staff Sergeant, I forgot to turn the cameras on. And he was so pissed, man. And even still, looking back, you know, you have to react in the moment and do what's best for your job.
But to clarify, he forgot to record.
He forgot to record. Yeah. It was
video,
all of it was
and
gone.
Video and audio.
And the whole thing.
So it wasn't like he had one, not the other.
Because these are busy people. Like, Rep Waltz is a busy guy, and he took the time to... So, like, it was on all fronts.
Writing that email to him and be like, sorry, man, we lost it all. And I tried to blame it on something else, and poor Bren, man. I still love... Anyway, let's keep going.
Anyways, yeah. So people who say we don't have enough Republicans on the show, we do. We just forget to record it by accident.
Yeah. And by the way, this article that Kate's going through right now is from Fox News. So suck it, everybody that says we're just a bunch of libs.
There you go. So Reps Crenshaw and Waltz introduced this joint resolution authorizing Biden to use military force to combat cartels pumping fentanyl and other dangerous substances across the border. Crenshaw said the cartels are responsible for about 360,000 homicides this year in Mexico, that they are militaristic in nature, mirroring an all-out civil war in many cases. And I don't know the exact numbers of homicides, but I saw like a few years ago it was like 86,000 homicides or something like that. Like, they are evil. These cartels are evil. You've seen what they've done to tourists who have gotten in the wrong situations across the border.
We're talking about heads on sticks and shit.
Like, absolutely nightmare level, like, no humanity horrible shit. What we've been dealing with for a while now, and nobody wants to talk about it too much, is a potentially failed narco-terrorist state at our border. And when you have 80,000 Americans a year dying from fentanyl overdose, oftentimes not even knowing they were taking fentanyl, that to me is active hostilities against the American people. So he's basically saying, like, Mexico, sure, they have a government and everything that's legit, but the real people ruling it are the narcos, are the bad guys.
Very corrupt.
And we're allowing them to send these chemicals over here that are getting mixed in with the drugs and killing a ton of people.
When I first read that, all I could think about was Pakistan and Afghanistan, where they weren't necessarily the Taliban or Al-Qaeda, but they harbored those individuals.
Yes.
And it feels like that's the argument that they're making for Mexico, is that Mexico is harboring these cartel members.
Yeah. Crenshaw said he did not believe the Mexican government's claim that the son of Al Chapo's arrest was not related to Biden's visit, and that the U.S. needs to pressure them to do more. We are really, really serious about this. You guys have threats within your country that are becoming serious threats to our country, killing tens of thousands of Americans a year. We need to address it. So it's a carrot and a stick. We want to help them, but we need that strong language in there, too. So he's saying, Mexico, we're ready to help you combat these narco-terrorists, but you have to help us out, too, and being more aggressive against them. Crenshaw
on the surface, how do you guys feel about that stance from Crenshaw?
I mean,
I agree with it. I absolutely agree with it. Because,
you
know, you think about it, just big picture, like, to the north, we got our pals up in Canada, couldn't be nicer. And then it is a little unsettling to think on the other border, we have complete anarchy and groups creating violence. So you want to help quell that violence. So I agree with them.
Well, so,
I think one of the main differences there is population style and, like, the quality. A lot of these people that are coming from Mexico also aren't Mexican. Like, the ones that are coming up, there's, like, these big caravans that are coming from different countries. I'm sure you've all heard about it on the news. But, if you go into Mexico, which a lot of my friends here are from, there is no issues. Like, it's the same thing as living in any American town. It's the border and how they know that, like, the narco trade is there. It's just so different.
Well, it's hard to even. It's not just the. I mean, it's places all throughout Mexico. It's definitely an issue with the cartels.
Yeah, you don't want to go.
But like,
right.
You're right. There's also
but here
normal,
too.
Wonderful.
Like, you have that issue here. Like, if you target any community, there's going to be some.
But it is very. It's very complex. So Waltz, Rep. Waltz, told Fox News Digital that the resolution is needed because the cartels have exceeded the capability of law enforcement and are a paramilitary arm armed with armored vehicles, heavy weapons, and billions at their disposal. He's saying this is past small-time shit. Like, they have more resources than them. Wouldn't be surprised to see El Chapo's kids flying an F-16 over the border, is what he's saying. They're getting more and more wealthy, so they have more and more ways to defend themselves and to attack anybody who comes against them. We've even seen collaboration with international terrorist groups and the Chinese Communist Party with these groups, Walt said in a Wednesday phone interview. So we believe we need to start using military assets to address the national security threat. And people don't realize, I think everyone thinks it's just Mexico. China is actually one of the biggest suppliers to Mexico of these chemicals and to the U.S. and worldwide. China is a huge problem in this. But it's not just Mexico and China now. According to the DEA, India is becoming another top market sending out.
I was shocked when I read that.
The Caribbean and elsewhere in Central America. And it makes it tougher to stop the flow. And my algorithm on TikTok is big on cartel talk, where they are out in the open showing their faces somewhere in South America, just straight up. Yeah, they're like, see what we're dumping on this right here? On, like, they're making heroin and all that stuff. They're like, this is just cement mix we're pouring into it as a filler. Like, they do not give a fuck what they put in it. They do not give a fuck what they do.
There's no Yelp reviews.
There's no Yelp reviews.
No.
There's no, like, whatever.
Sorry to go just a little off topic. Like, wouldn't that
That's
scare
weird for
you?
Us.
Yeah, sorry. Wouldn't that scare you, though? Like, again, I've said this before. Like, drugs never interested me, so I never even cared to try shit. But these days, wouldn't you be scared that, like, you take one bad batch of something and you're dead?
A lot of my – because let me tell you, everybody in New York City is still doing cocaine. I had – my cousin came over from Ireland, which they do it there too, but she was like – she went out and I was like, what do you think? She's like, this is awesome. I'm having so much fun here. She's like, but I can't believe that everyone's doing cocaine still. And – but she was saying – because I'm – we've all – I used to dabble, okay, back in my day in those beers – but back then it was like a different ball game. She said now everybody has these little test strips. Like people are afraid of whatever. But at 2 a.m. when you're drunk and you're making poor choices, like I bet you don't care that much. Like I bet you're like, probably not like it,
wait a
fine.
Second, let me take out my fentanyl test strip to make sure these drugs are okay.
You feel invincible. So anyway, this military authorization would give Biden the authority to go after 9 cartels, including the Jalisco New Generation. That sounds like a cool snack bar brand.
That was the widest way you could have said that, Kate.
Jalisco New Generation.
Jalisco.
Hello, pardon me, Jalisco.
Jalisco.
Moms like me choose Jalisco. Anyway, the Sinaloa, cartels, you know, all the big ones, all the top cartels. Right. And it would suck if you were the 10th one that didn't make the list. You'd be like, hey, we kill people. Yeah. We're bad.
Like the White Castle of fast food places.
Yeah, you're right there, but not close enough. They sell tiny little heroines, like the little burgers they do. Anyways, they're going after any of the main groups engaging in fentanyl trafficking and trafficking of related substances that they say is destabilizing the Western Hemisphere. This part of the bill, I think, is smart and should go for a lot of bills.
I was thinking the same thing, Kate.
Waltz included, or part of it is a sunset clause of 5 years. So they would be required to revisit this bill. Say it gets passed and it's put into action. 5 years from now, they have to take a time out, look, did this work or was this a failure? And if it was a failure, do we have to readjust? Do we cancel it? Do we switch? Do we do something else? But the sunset clause was a response to previous military force authorizations that led to 20-something long years of military action. And this is why it's important to have veterans who are representatives who can be like, yeah, I was part of a 20-year quagmire. Context. That was kind of a mess. I'm going to make sure that doesn't happen in other regards.
And both of these folks are a testament to that.
Yes. That's
Walt and Crenshaw, yeah.
So I would say, I was thinking about this. Obviously, it goes without saying, I think these cartels are evil. I don't want them running amok. They do have to be dealt with. I don't know enough to tell you, but it seems like Mexico's not doing enough. But at the same time, I think it would be really disingenuous to look at this issue without pointing out that on a cultural level, they're bringing it up here because the demand is insane. And the reason for that has become, there are many, many reasons, but one of the main reasons for that, Americans consume prescription opioids at a greater rate than any other population in the world. And this is according, you can look it up, the research data. For example, despite suffering chronic pain at similar rates, and they found countries where chronic pain is similar across the board, like Italy, France, America, have about the same amount of people comparatively saying they've got chronic pain for all sorts of things. Americans consume 6 to 8 times as many opioid painkillers as they do. One could argue that France and Italy, they have bad health care, so their patients aren't getting what they need. But
they have good health care.
But France, the life expectancy there at age 65 is higher in France and Italy than it is here. Mm-hmm. So Keith Humphreys, this professor of psychiatry at Stanford, says a likely explanation is that the U.S. regulates opioid manufacturers and distributors way less than almost anywhere in the first world.
That goes across the board in Europe.
Yeah.
Like the way that they will – you're not allowed to market prescription medicine. You're not allowed to do – like when people come from Europe, they're like, why does Jeopardy have a Cialis commercial like in the middle of it? And they don't get that because it doesn't
I think we're talking about two different types of things though, because we're talking about prescription and it's not being regulated.
Cons, I'll get into it.
Like the tie-in's coming.
I'm getting there. So – we're super friendly to manufacturers that market opioids, and those pharma manufacturers, the reason is, look at their donations to politicians on both sides of the fence and regulatory bodies. They make so much money here. We also, America pays more for prescription drugs across the board than any other country in the world by like over 20% or something like that. Like these pharma companies are unstoppable. They have so much money here. They have so much power. And it's those features of American exceptionalism, not exceptional physical pain, that has sparked one of the worst prescription opioid epidemics in history. This other doctor at Stanford, a physician, Dr. Jonathan Chen, said, we're 5% of the world's population, but we consume 80% of the world's prescription opioids. And this was in 2020. He said, it's not just a handful of doctors doing it. We all are. It's part of our culture. It's like become so normal, even after we know everything all these documentaries have come out. Like, we know how bad it is. In 2018, the last year with complete data available, more than 1 in 5 Americans had an opioid prescription filled. And that same year, 40 Americans died each day from prescription opioids. And experts, and you can look at this across the board, say far more people are dying after that develops an addiction. Because after a while, the doctors stop giving them these opioids. Like, dude, mm-hmm. you've come back here 5 times. They're desperate. They shift to far more dangerous opioids that are more readily available, like heroin and black market fentanyl. And you can look and do all the research. It's like a pipeline mm-hmm. from this opioid. If you look to...
It's what people said for years was for weed. Like, that it was a gateway drug, that it was a slippery slope. That's what opioids are.
And if you look... I put this chart in here of overdose and drug-related deaths. None of the countries that are making the fentanyl and making the heroin and making the are on that list. The top 10, the U.S. by far, Scotland, Canada, Sweden, the U.K., Australia, Norway, Denmark, Germany, Switzerland, Netherlands, France. It's not the countries making it. And this journalist was down in Mexico and... He asked this cab driver, like, what do you think about this? And he said something like, hold on, I got to find it. Come on, dumb Kate. He's like, everyone's shitting on us for the cartels. But basically he said, like, you guys are the one with the demand. Like, somebody's going to fill it. Mm-hmm. People are going to fill it. And so I think it's worth mentioning, like, there is a sickness within our culture that our demand for this stuff is so high. And... Bad guys, I'm not saying they're not bad guys. Bad guys are going to, like, cockroaches. You can crush them there, but as long as the demand remains the same, like, I think you can make a dent in it, but I think it has to work in tandem. Like, yes, I think that they're right that something has to be done about these cartels, but I think we need to address a lot of really deep cultural sicknesses within our country that's creating this problem.
And it's a problem that you don't even realize that a lot of people are having because it's so common, like the opioid addiction. But you're right, Kate. Like, if truckloads and cargo loads of fentanyl are coming into the United States, which it appears that way, somebody is buying it.
Yeah, that's...
You're not going to take that risk of sending it if nobody's buying it, nobody's consuming it.
Said Americans are always blaming us for drug trafficking, but they always fail to mention that Mexico wouldn't be drug trafficking if they didn't have a giant pool of addicts in their country. And, like, at this point, I think people have this idea. The two people that I know who have died of fentanyl were not what I thought as a kid of what an addict was. Mm-hmm. These were upstanding citizens who had good jobs, had loving families, and this got to them. And for both of them, it started with prescription pills. And then... Years down the road, this is where their life ended. So I don't know.
All right.
I think it's Cons, very,
you look
very
like you have, yeah.
I just vehemently disagree with that whole line of thinking that there's this causation that because we're sick as a country, it's causing a problem at the border. I understand the supply and demand aspect of what you're saying, but I do think we need to look inward and try to control the way we hand out prescription medication and take it from that angle, but I don't think that there's a correlation here. I think you need
to focus on... I don't think it's one for one, right?
Right.
It's definitely not one for one, but contributing, I think,
sure,
is part of it.
Sure, there's a lot of contributing factors, but I think you need to focus on stopping these illegal drugs at the border and not say, like, well, we're all screwed up as a country and there's demand, so that's why they're going to keep coming. It's like...
We should have a war on drugs.
We should, which
yeah, like, where's
work,
Nancy Reagan,
you know?
When you
right.
need her?
That didn't work either. But I'm just saying, like, yeah, I hope it didn't come across. But, like, I'm saying it's very, very nuanced. And I think that would make a dent. It does need to be addressed. Like, I think they both have smart
ideas.
But
I think if you stopped all the excess drugs, and obviously, you know, stopping them completely is probably impossible.
Yeah.
But if you stopped excess drugs and you stopped the supply, or you significantly cut off the supply, there's an argument to be made that the demand would also dwindle.
I think inversely, though, like, wherever there is demand, they're gonna find a way. They are gonna, no matter what you do.
Doesn't matter if they find a way, though, if there's nothing there to find, is
yeah,
what I'm
even
saying.
Even like fentanyl, like Kate just said, people in New York all over the place are doing coke, and coke is illegal there. Like, it's been there. Like, if you go to any bar in Miami, like, hey, can I get some coke? You're gonna have like 5 pounds in your pocket.
Yeah,
and
but
that's
I also
illegal.
think I also think just saying, like, throwing your hands up, well, it's just going to happen no matter what.
No. I don't think that that's the case either. Like, I don't think that we should just stop. I actually like some of the proposals. When you first read the proposal from Crenshaw and from Waltz, it reads like there's going to be boots on the ground. That's not what they're recommending. No. They're recommending drones. It's basically the same thing in that same trip that we took up with Bren. It's the same thing Will Hurd said, that we need much more tracking. We need much more electronic tracking from overhead. We do need to have people with the ability to go in a quick reaction force if we see something through heat-related signatures of large amount of people going through. The onesies and twosies that are coming through, I don't give a fuck about. Like, if you're trying to get here to have your family come in, I would do the same exact thing. So I cannot fault people that are trying to do that. That being said, we have to do something at a border. That's a pure
last
ass
thing
fact.
I'll say. Okay. Sorry, just because I was, when I first read the article, I was like, well, what's the DEA for? So I looked up the numbers because I didn't know. 2021, this is from DEA.gov. Their staffing, total employees for the DEA, 9,848. And of those, 4,649 are special agents. And that's not like 4,649 are all stationed on the you know, U.S.-Mexican border. They're spread out all over the place.
You know what
we
need?
Yeah, Border Security has that. That's their main mission because they're part of the Homeland Security aspect. DEA typically goes into more of the continental United States.
I think we can agree on this. I think the thing that would fix this is if the Coast Guard, we still give them boats, but they've got wheels on them for land.
The Rio Grande.
Because Coast Guard's reeling in smack 24/7 out in the sea.
Maybe they're trafficking. Maybe it's the Coast Guard.
Maybe it's
because they always have a ton. Like, you go into, they're like, oh, because they were going to go to port. Like, we actually seized this when they were the ones distributing it.
But I think it's definitely a mix. I think definitely stuff on the border. I think there's some great ideas here. And I also think culturally we have a real deep sickness that is creating this an insatiable demand. I don't know what the answer is. I'm not acting like I do, but something.
All right, so we're not going to figure out the answer. Let's stop going around in circles and move on to round number two. Today's show is brought to you by our friends at Telemine. Telemine is a mental health solution that specializes in serving our military community. With a team of experienced and compassionate clinicians, Telemine offers accessible and confidential therapy and psychiatric sessions online, making it easier for service members, veterans, and their families to get support they need no matter where they are. Whether it's coping with PTSD, anxiety, depression, or any other mental health coverage challenge, Telemine is committed to providing military members with the resources they need to thrive. I actually use Telemine for my psychiatric needs. I was pumped when I got a message from these folks, and they're like, hey, we want to partner with you as much as you talk about mental health. I said, great, because I use you for my psychiatric care, and it's been an absolute game changer. Not only I use it, but my older daughter uses it as well, and it's fantastic for our whole family. One of the biggest concerns that I have going to Chicago is the length that it takes to get into a psychiatric care. Having Telemine removes that concern completely. I let them know that I'm going to be moving, and they worked already to get me an appointment in my new area, because if you live in Texas, your psychiatrist might not be licensed in the state of Illinois. Like, that's something that I'm going through. But they have something for everyone, no matter where in the country you are. It's fantastic. They have licensed and qualified clinicians who have experience working with military and veterans. Telemind has flexibility of scheduling options, allowing members to book at times that are more convenient for them wherever they are. Take the first step in your journey by visiting telemind.com or call 866-991-2103 to get started. Take the first step on your journey. Visit telemind.com or call 866-911-2103 to get started. What's here, Kate?
Okay. So, Florida. This is another thing. Cartel talk, and then I've been seeing a lot of this on across social media. Completely empty.
I thought this was fake news. When I saw it, I was like, this is fake. There's no way it's this.
People are posting videos of farms and construction sites that look like ghost towns. Like, you can tell people were there yesterday, and now they're completely empty, and they're like, this is because this new law in Florida or whatever. And I was like, wait, what's happening? So
I saw this dude that was in Florida, like central Florida, where a lot of my family's from, and there was on a sweet potato farm. And he was like, We give them like $10 per big old barrel of sweet potato that they fill. Typically, one of these workers will come in, they'll fill like 10, 15, 20 before lunch. These people are doing like 5 barrels in a day. Like, you want this kind of worker, you want to get rid of our workers, that's fine. I hope you are ready to have $12 sweet potatoes.
Oh, no, I love sweet potato fries.
And I'm not.
But anyway, supporters, this is from West Palm Beach, Florida. Supporters believe a new Florida law recently signed by Governor Ron DeSantis will crack down on illegal immigration. According to the law's new provisions, here's some of them. Tougher penalties for knowingly hiring or transporting undocumented people in the state. I think that's when things like, I feel like a lot of times it's the immigrants getting chased in traffic, but the companies hiring them always get off scot-free. It's like, wait a minute, what the? So going after the companies, e-verify employment screening for new hires at businesses with 25 or more employees.
That's the one that is fucking people. That's the one that's fucking business.
Yeah. And Florida hospitals will collect immigration status, and the state will no longer recognize outside driver's license for undocumented. Can a hospital turn someone away who's like,
no,
seriously ill? So I don't know how that one will go. And then Florida's migrant relocation program will get another $12 million after previously flying 50 undocumented from Texas to Martha's Vineyard. So they're just going to be
in a private plane.
In a private plane. The tax money is going to be flying them all over the place. However, from farming to construction, the law is expected to have a wide-ranging impact on many industries vital to Florida's economy. WPTV is told that some farm workers are already too scared to go to work and are considering leaving the state, which would cause a huge staffing crisis for Florida agriculture. The new law is causing concerns for many different communities. The bill, yeah, so kind of just
And that's basically the story. They had this big immigration new law that came out where you have to do all kinds of things. Even Miami-Dade County police have said that they were supposed to, on every single stop, ask people for their immigration papers. Like, you're supposed to carry around your papers at all times. For who? Like, who is supposed to do that? Is it just people of Hispanic descent? Because I can guarantee you, Kate gets pulled over for doing a little jaywalking or doing a little rolling stop sign. They're not asking her. They're not asking her for her shit. It's the same thing that happens here at the border. Like, people come in. If you look Hispanic, they're going to pull your ID, make you stay for longer. It's racially profiling that's mandated by the state, essentially.
At the same time, though, like, illegal immigration does obviously comes with issues that people are concerned about. And once again, I don't know the answers to it, but it seems like I get a state being like, here, you take them and you see what it's like to be in a state that has an enormous amount compared to yours. You have a taste of this and see what it's like before you criticize me or whatever. Like, I understand that. I think it's a really complex issue. But yeah, it's interesting to see. I don't know. This would be a good one to see. Like, immigration, I don't know. There, that was
it's
a good
one of those
of
things
me.
Where no decision exists in a vacuum.
It's a mess. It just seems like that such a mess.
If you have one issue like immigration, and you look at it like, oh, yeah, sure, everybody that's undocumented should leave the United States. I think that on the cursory of you looking at that issue, that seems right to everybody. Like, you shouldn't be in a country that you're not from, which is silly when you look at how big the universe is, like the lines. Like, when I read science, I'm like, who fucking cares where somebody's from? Like, we're humans. We're the only people that are here. That's crazy. But I understand it. But removing everybody from that status, you do take a lot of the workers. California is experiencing some of the same thing. All those different border states are helped. And think about where those states are coming from. It's the three biggest economic producers in the country as far as agriculture goes. Florida, Texas, California. Those three are the big three. And if you don't have workers, or if you have to pay workers that are American citizens the normal amount, you're fucked. Like, you just are.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but also too, like, kind of building off what we were talking about in the last story, like, that can't be the reason that we don't do anything, right? Because how many people in this country don't have a job and would benefit from having a job working agriculture?
Currently 3.5%.
Yeah, exactly.
But a lot of those people aren't looking for these jobs. Like,
these jobs. They're not going to do
them. If you look into it, there's a correlation in, like, reasons for this and that, but...
And having this stance during the heightened inflation is insanity. Like, you want to make the market, like, go back down. People are complaining about their $6 gallon of milk, and rightfully so. Like, that's a huge issue. You take all these undocumented workers and remove them from farms, the price of everything goes up. And it's not just the farmers, it's the construction workers. Construction roofs are completely empty in a lot of places in Florida. There's a national trucker strike where truckers don't want to go to Florida right now. It's going to become a big, big problem with inflation, and then you add this on top of it. I don't know what the fuck they're doing, man. Like, it's read the room. It's not the time to make people's grocery bills go up even more.
Okay, but that's – yes. It is a difficult time, but I don't know that there's ever a good time to address this issue, and I can't be the reason why it never gets addressed is what I'm saying. Ultimately, figure out the solution. If you have people who are illegal, well, document them. Get them through the process. And again, I know that's easier said than done, that you need a lot of resources to get that. And I am all for immigrating to this country legally, but to just, again, say like, well, too many things will get disrupted, so we got to just leave it alone and keep things getting worse and worse. Because there are also negative aspects of having undocumented individuals running around the country.
I think from a humanitarian perspective, too, being undocumented makes you incredibly vulnerable, especially women and children. And mm-hmm. especially now in Florida, the most vulnerable are desperate. They don't want to get taken away. They don't want to whatever. And so they're going to now come under the influence of people who, probably some people who don't have best interests in mind, who are going to take advantage of them in all sorts of horrible ways. So this is probably going to create a humanitarian crisis as well. But their priority was one, too. It's like, it's very complex. I do think, like, my cousin married a woman from Brazil. She's the fucking best. And it took her, like, 5 years legally doing all the right things and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars even being married to get, it's like the system is also
so
wacky.
That's what I'm saying. Why not fix that system? Why not make it easier for people to become documented citizens of the United States?
Because the government
maybe
doesn't want to. They don't want to. Like, it's and it's not even the Republicans. It's the Democrats. It's the Democrats too. Like when President Obama was the president, when his first little bit, he had a supermajority in both the House and the Senate. Like, he could have done – they could have done whatever the fuck they wanted to. That's the reason why they got Obamacare passed. If they wanted the Dreamers Act for real, they could have done it then. And it's – the reality is I think it's because of economics, because you look at it and you know the price of everything's going to go up. Who's going to be the president that signs off on that? Who's going to be the president that says, yes, I'm going to make the price of everything in America go up by 20%? No one. Yeah. No president is ever going to do that because
they don't want
you'd be a one-term president.
This is something I'm interested to see, like the – what was it called in the last one, the sunset clause or something like that? Like, I'm interested to see, like, a year from now what has happened since. Like, I don't know. I don't know enough
about after Disney and the people that pick oranges in Florida is insane.
Yeah,
like, it is just insane.
Yeah, to go after those two industries.
All right,
I just wonder,
that being said, go ahead, Cons.
I was just going to say – like, couldn't there just be, like, this is me not knowing the ins and outs of immigration down to the letter of the law. What if there was, like, an amnesty period? Like, hey, doesn't matter if you're illegal. From this date to this date, you come in. We're going to expedite the process. We're going to make you a citizen. I wonder if that could put a dent in the
That's
immigration
That's the Dreamers
law.
Act, Con. That's what it is. That's the Dreamers Act that nobody will pass.
Now, I'll tell you like this. Philly did a day for your parking tickets where you could come in. And they would help clear them out for you, and I still didn't go.
Yeah. Sorry, right, Jeff, what were you going to say?
Today.
Oh, I was going to say, today's show is also brought to you by our friends at Proper Wild. If you suffer from symptoms of ADHD, lack of focus, no productivity, your brain is constantly wandering around all over the place, you need to check out Proper Wild's Clean and All Day Energy Shot. Proper Wild uses organic caffeine stacked with L-theanine, which has been clinically proven way to boost your energy, your focus, your productivity, and it stops your jitter or crash, which is fantastic. There's no preservatives, no artificial sweeteners, no horrible chemicals, just the natural tasting energy shots with clean ingredients. And this is a big part that works. I love this stuff. I have it on my desk whenever I'm getting ready to go. If I have like the dozen to film with Jeff D. Lowe, or if I'm on this show, I give it a little go so I'm feeling bright and spry. That's what you need to do. And you could do that by going to properwild.com/barstool to try Proper Wild for 30% off. Say, let's move on to some good initiative, bad judgment. Round number three. I'm excited about this. Was one of my favorite things that we're doing right now. I love a little good initiative, bad judgment. The first one that we have. A U.S. Army officer says that a squatter moved into her Cobb County home while she was serving on active duty, and now she can't have him evicted. She told Channel 2 News, Kate, you read this. I can't fucking read. What?
Okay. So this U.S. Army officer in DeKalb County, she's serving her country on active duty. I guess she was away for training, and while she was gone, a squatter moved into her home. And because of the way the laws are set, she cannot have him evicted. She told Channel 2 consumer investigator Justin Gray that she found out when her real estate agent was making final preparations to sell the house. He's not a tenant, he's a squatter, said Lieutenant Colonel Dahlia Dar. Dar says someone she's never met moved in without her knowledge or permission and won't leave. I was beside myself and feel violated. Had I not been serving my country, I would have been in my home.
I don't know how this is a law. Squatters' rights are some of the most insane things that I've ever heard.
Yes,
dude. That shit's insane.
It's so dated.
Take somebody, pick them up by their britches and their shirt, toss them out into the driveway. Like, you can't just live in somebody's house. Like, I disagree wholly with communities that put, like, spikes or whatever, and they put places so people can't sleep on the bench. You're unhoused, you got to sleep somewhere.
And this is terrifying. It came from the Baltimore Sun or something like that. But it was talking about elderly people who live alone. Squatters are moving into their homes with them. And then the kids come to visit their mom, and there's a stranger living in the house, too. And
that's
like,
scary.
They're like, dibs, squatters' rights, I live here now, too. Like, that shit's happening to old people. And because of certain laws in certain areas, they cannot kick those people out.
Fucking libs, man. Dude, we got to get rid of that shit.
Honestly.
Like, these laws, they just seem so antiquated.
Yes,
I don't know how they exist in present
fucking
day.
Fucking insane. There's there's a great episode of The Simpsons about squatters moving into their house. They have to trick them out the front door and reset the locks. But some of these stories, there's a story out of New York City that I read last year. A woman rented the back room of her apartment to this woman and her daughter. And the woman just said, I'm not paying rent. I'm like, squatters' rights. And this woman just lives there now. And
imagine how awkward that is.
And like, she said the whole story tells how awkward it is, how the woman is like afraid to even be in her own home, how like, and they can't.
Kate, as the squatter, would be the worst. Oh, sorry for squatting.
Sorry for squatting here. I know this is so embarrassing. I'm so sorry for squatting here right now. Oh my God. But it's crazy how it happened. She was renting out her Metro Atlanta home. And Cons, didn't you had like a home that you rented out for a while, didn't you, in Texas? And
yes.
A ton of military people do this, like a ton, because you're always moving and traveling, and so you're buying and blah, blah, blah. So she's renting out her Metro Atlanta home, but after a $35,000 renovation, she put it up for sale. I got a cash offer, and it was under contract. That's when she says Vincent Simon moved in. Simon claimed he had a lease and that he'd paid $19,000 up front for 6 months. The police called the number that's on the lease. Doesn't exist. So that sucks. And I bet.
All right. So let's go for the guy that's squatting. Good initiative, bad judgment. What do we say?
Bad initiative, good judgment. Because it looks like.
I'm going to say good initiative, good judgment. Like, if you don't have a place to stay and you could squat, I think you got to squat. Like, I'm against squatting. But if I was in a position where I need to squat and I knew the laws. Buddy, I'm squatting so far, you would have thought that I was doing powerlifting.
So I would say good initiative, bad judgment, because you need a place to live and sleep, good initiative. Bad judgment, disrupting someone's home and just not leaving.
I think there's a difference between bad judgment and being unpolite.
Anyway. I don't know.
Okay.
Quite the pickle.
What do we got next, Kate?
So a fifth grade teacher said she's being investigated by the Florida Department of Education after she showed her students the movie Strange World, a 2022 Disney animation featuring a character who's biracial and gay.
Fantastic movie, by the way. Loved it.
Yeah. Jenna Barbie, a teacher in Winding Waters K-8, told her story on a TikTok post over the weekend. I am a teacher that's under investigation with the Florida Department of Ed for indoctrination for showing a Disney movie. She had to go to the school board.
All right, so good initiative, blah, 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 blah. Bad judgment, playing a Disney movie with a biracial gay character. Okay?
I mean, knowing me, like, I don't think anything about it, but I think as a teacher in Florida, you had to know that you're probably going to lose your job. That We had a substitute teacher who came in middle school who wheeled in the TV and showed us, he brought in his homemade WWE videos that were...
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I got to tell you, it was fucking awesome. It was fucking awesome. And then one of our students tattletailed on him. And
fucking
he got
loser.
The fucking boot. Next thing you know, we had some old lady snoozing at the desk for the next few days.
Man.
Yeah, that kid deserves a swirly. Oh. Like, if you don't tell on a teacher who's doing cool stuff, you don't.
Any movie time's cool with me is good. But yeah, so, I mean, I feel like you had to know that this was good. I'm not saying right or wrong, but just as a teacher, I don't know.
Cons, what do you think?
Same. Good initiative, bad judgment. You got to know Florida. But also, I feel like if you're showing Disney, like, that's pretty safe.
It's PG.
Right.
It's PG.
To me, biracial gay people existing is not controversial. So to me, there's nothing interesting or controversial.
Nobody
about
was
that.
Having sex. Like, I think hetero or gay couple, nobody would want their kids watching sex whenever they're young. Like, you just don't want that to happen. But to act like people that are gay is somehow perverse, like that you can't talk about it. Like, one of these instances was a woman had a picture on her desk of her family and with her husband. Totally fine. The next classroom over, it was a man that had his husband and their kid that they had together. That was perverse.
They're like, saying that's indoctrination insane. When you have other people sharing their belief. I don't know. Yeah, I would just say, as for Florida goes, though, just stepping back, looking at good initiative, bad judgment. Florida,
I'd say good initiative, good judgment. You can't stand by and watch shitty laws like that and say nothing. Another one of my friends that works in Jacksonville, he was a teacher in Jacksonville. I say was because he refused to have some of the banned books taken out of his classroom. And so he lost his job for it. And I think that's good initiative, good judgment. Like, you have to stand up. If you stand for nothing, you fall for everything. What's next, Kate?
Cons, good initiative, bad judgment.
Oh, he already said it.
Yeah.
Oh, you did. Okay. Yeah. Springfield, Colorado. A man is in the doghouse with Colorado police for attempting to switch places with his pooch after he was pulled over for suspicion of drunk driving. Springfield Police Department wrote that the suspect was pulled over at 11:30 p.m. on a Saturday, going 52 in a 30. He exited the vehicle and claimed he wasn't driving. It was the dog that was at the wheel. He also attempted to flee, which never, I'll tell you this much, never looks good for you. Worked for me freshman year of college, though. I did get away, but my friend Megan did not. And then
the last line of this is so funny. The suspect, who was certainly not a greyhound, was apprehended from 20 yards outside his vehicle. I'll go first. I think this one is the definition of good initiative, bad judgment. Because if the cops are coming and you're sitting in there, you're like, fuck, I'm getting a DUI. You got to try any excuse. Any excuse.
Yeah, but to even be in that situation, I think it's bad initiative. And then bad judgment on top of the bad initiative.
Can I
so
say
I think it's bad initiative, bad judgment?
Can I say bad initiative, fun judgment?
Oh,
you would
because
it was
then you
fun
go
to blame
then
the
you
got to
go to the drunk tank, and that's not fun.
But at least when you blame the dog, everyone has a quick chuckle.
That's
it was
great,
my greyhound Charlie.
23-year-old Kate walks into a bar that the guy's not supposed to be at anymore, I think, and he has a story. Got a DUI, let his dog, and then you have the picture in the news article, and he's like, yeah, that's me.
Everyone's
getting
having
it?
A chuckle.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. That's tough.
All right, let's move into some save rounds and alibis. Today's show is also brought to you by our friends at Factor. During the prime spring season, you need wholesome, convenient meals to energize you for warmer, more active days and keep you on track for reaching your goals. Factor can help you fuel up fast and ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. They offer delicious, flavor-packed options on the menu each and every week to make sure it fits your variety of lifestyles from keto to calorie smart to vegan and veggie and protein. Prepared for you by chefs and approved dietitian, each meal has all the ingredients you need to feel satisfied along the way meeting your goals. I had a package show up with this product, with Factor, it came in, had like the ice and stuff like these kind of places usually do. It was the best pre-made meal I have ever had, and I'm not kidding. They were so good, in fact, my wife and I both work from home. My wife wrote her name on all the different packages, and I only got one. I got one that we shared one day. The rest of them, she claimed. And if you're a good husband, you let them claim it because otherwise it's going to be terrible. And you might want to order two, honestly. If you have a spouse They might take all of them if they're like me. Head to factormeals.com/blog50 and use code blog50 to get 50% off your first box. That's an incredible deal. I promise you, you're going to love this food. That's code blog50 at factormeals.com/blog50 to get 50% off your first box. All right, let's move on to some save rounds and alibis. Catherine, we'll start with you.
Okay, this is going to be very exciting. This is going to go viral, folks. People are going to be really thrilled to hear about this. I got Stoolie sent me an electric blanket, this massive electric blanket. It is freezing in here in all these little meeting rooms. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I love my son, but this heated electric blanket?
Yeah.
My God, what a treat this episode has been.
People don't realize, if you've never been in a relationship with somebody who's pregnant,
brownie throat,
the little gifts that you can get that makes a creature comfort is such a, like the body pillows. I got my wife, when she was pregnant, one of those huge, like U-shaped pillows that she could just be in and put different directions where it takes stress off of her stomach. Loved it. It was like the best gift I ever got her.
Oh, yeah. When I first had my son, somebody got me just a little, it's a little coaster that keeps your coffee warm. It's a heated coaster because you're always having to get up and run around. And your coffee constantly gets cold when you're a parent of a young kid. And great. I'll pass it on to you, Cons. It's a great gift. So very.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Real treat. Other than that, still the bid number 3 on another house in Chicago down the tubes, man. People keep swooping in with cash, and I just am out of luck. So I don't
understand the difference of cash and not cash offer. Like if you have like
one's guaranteed, one's guaranteed. It's like this is the money in hand versus, you know, it's pretty guaranteed if you're using a mortgage.
It's like how I got into Fordham with a 1.8 GPA because they knew the GI Bill was guaranteed cash. They're like, we don't care if you're a rock, you big dumb idiot. Come on in, you little dumb. Yeah. It was great.
Yeah.
But so that's what
it just makes it more attractive.
Kate's done all kinds. She does a good job. We make fun of Kate a lot, but she does really good finances. Like you
do,
having good bills. Like you've always said, like I pay my bills on time. I invest like I should. So you adult well in that category.
I have had no, you know what it is? I've had no debt pretty much since I got out of the military because I love eating canned foods. That's it. I eat, and I don't shop. All my clothes are from Barstool. I haven't been like clothes shopping. Maybe once a year I'll buy a dress for a gala. I don't own purses. I don't own any jewelry at all. I eat out of cans and I wear old flannels.
Man. Kate, when was the last time you need to be on the Appalachian Trail? For real.
Yes, seriously. I know. I could be a homesteader. Like, I'm so...
When was the last time you would say you went to, like, a nice restaurant? Like, not a chain, Chili's. Nothing against Chili's. Love Chili's.
Right.
But, you know, a couple steps above.
Dude, it's probably been 5 years. It's been so long. I don't know, man.
Wow.
God damn.
Yeah.
Like, if I don't go in a month, it feels weird.
I know.
Right. Me, us too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Think about that. If you cut out going out to eat, how much money you would save.
Dude, if I cut out Uber Eats and DoorDash and going out to nice restaurants, because we go out as a family every Friday.
Yeah.
Like, every Friday we go out to eat. It's not always, like, crazy nice, but it's, like, a mid-tier kind of place. Mm-hmm. If I didn't, and that's easily $120, $150 for my family. If we didn't do that, that's like a nice car payment. And then Uber Eats on top of it. I probably spend just eating out our Uber Eats $600, $700 a month, maybe a little bit more.
That's I saw this TikTok the other day that was like, here's what I grew up. You're saying I'd be great on the Appalachian Trail. Here's have you seen those slideshows? It's like, here's what I grew up eating poor in the Appalachian Mountains. And literally everything on the list, I was like, oh my God, that's what I grew up eating.
I was telling my kids the other day, I went out to eat on Sundays when Taco Bell had 29-cent tacos. Back in the day, they used to have that.
I remember that.
When I go over to my grandparents' house, Nana and Papa Catherine, like my dad's side, they would take us out to this place called Corky Bell's, which is a seafood restaurant in a little town called Palatka, Florida. And we'd go to Dairy Queen, and I would get a peanut butter parfait and really set the world on fire.
Buddy, I'd eat blizzards till I got diarrhea as a kid. The Georgia mud fudge. I would start to get the goosebumps halfway through, and I'd say, I'm still going to finish it. I know what's
just
coming.
Just got to power through.
I'm not going to stop.
No, growing up, One of the families in the carpool that took us home from school, they were part owners from a Dairy Queen. Ugh. So when that mom picked us up, we got to go to Dairy Queen and get a cone with soft serve.
Fuck oh, yes. See, the that's the,
little,
the kind of...
The dip with the little curly Q on mm-hmm. top.
It was unbelievable.
As a kid, mm-hmm. that's the kid version of having a friend with a boat as an adult.
Yeah.
Like, you have the friend with the chain restaurant hookup. Anyway, so mm-hmm. yeah, still on the figuring that out. That's fine.
My friends, Justin and Ryan, they used to live on this lake, Lake Asbury. And back in the day when I was young, because I'm a pretty pale guy, I would get sunburned. And with the sunburn, I would get fever blisters on my lips, like, real Ooh. Bad. And it hurt so much. Like, if I bite into something, it'd bleed. And it was just terrible. But if I got into Lake Asbury's water and spent, like, 30, 45 minutes in there, it would take it away. It would be gone the next day. Ooh. I don't know how. But there's healing.
Something in that water.
Good chemicals.
Yeah. Something in that water. Yeah.
Anything else, yeah. Catherine?
No, that's it.
All right. Connor?
Yeah, Kate, you'll find a house when it's time, when it's right. So don't sweat it. And I'm also saying that as a reaffirmation for my own self. Mm-hmm. So this past weekend, Big Lacs weekend. This is the time of year, May into the summer. A lot of great lacrosse. And
do you like it, or do you like it just because of Army?
I like it. I like the sport of lacrosse. I will watch lacrosse that Army's not playing in because I like the sport of lacrosse, and mm-hmm. I love watching the PLL. I find it to be a very enjoyable sport. It's fast-paced, typically high-scoring, contact. There's just a lot of elements of the game that I find very appealing. And I didn't grow up around it because I played baseball in the spring. Lacrosse wasn't big in the area where I grew up. And then when I went to college... Outside of the football team, it was lacrosse players who I became friends with. So I started going to lacrosse games, and I said, whoa, this game is awesome. So mm-hmm. I've been a lacrosse fan for a while now. So anyway, we upset Maryland, so we're playing Penn State in the next round, which is very difficult. My entire side of Alex's mm-hmm. family is all Penn State. Mm-hmm. So
we
you know, a lot on the line.
We are. Yeah.
A lot on the line. But so
you guys know we're all about keeping it real. So let's talk about something making a real change for vets in active duty right now. Zyn nicotine pouches. If you're looking for a new way to enjoy nicotine, America's number one nicotine pouch comes in 10 varieties like wintergreen, spearmint, and coffee, and two strengths, 3 milligrams to kick off your experience and 6 milligrams to take it up a notch. Zyn is smoke-free, spit-free, and hands-free, giving you more freedom to move. Plus, it comes as is. No batteries or devices needed to get yours in on, which is one less thing to worry about on your next trip to the PX. Look, when it comes to making a change, we know progress is more important than perfection. Zyn knows it too, because everyone's on a different path. If you're curious about what a premium nicotine experience looks like, head to your local convenience store, PX, or Zyn.com to find out. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
I was watching the Duke game. Okay, and on the back of Duke's jerseys, they wear the 75th Ranger Regiment scroll, the insignia for the 75th Ranger Regiment.
Shout out Alejandro Villanueva.
No, yeah. Was he in 70?
Yeah,
yes, okay,
he was.
Yeah. But so anyway, I took to Twitter and I was like, wait, why is Duke wearing this? I couldn't remember, and then when I got the reason, the answer, I was like, oh yes, I remember. It's for the player Jimmy Regan, who was KIA. He was with the Ranger Regiment. But it got me thinking, because, and maybe this is just Duke fans being obnoxious, but people were coming at me like, oh, you're a big dumb idiot. Like, oh, you don't know about that? Like, sorry, I forgot. I didn't go to Duke. Like,
yeah, I don't have every single person that served in the military on a mm-hmm. Rolodex for when I'm right, watching ESPN.
Everything that ever happened in the Army, I don't know about. Hand up. Sorry. I
also
just,
feel
I
like that'd be a good
it.
Opportunity to be like, oh, you don't know? Here's the story. Here,
right.
Really amazing.
Just don't
person.
Be a dick.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And there were some people who were very gracious. Like, oh, here's your story. And once I got refreshed, but I was like, oh, yes, I remember. But people were very, very helpful. But I just, it got me thinking to a bigger issue, I think, now in the veteran community. And I think we're kind of seeing it play out a little bit with the incident that's happened in the New York City subway with that Marine. It's like, you're either for veterans or you hate America and you're a libtard. Like, there's no discussion, no nuance. Like, everyone was coming at me like, oh, I guess you don't know the story. Like, you hate veterans and you're a terrible person. You're an embarrassment. It's like,
what? And you don't want to get triggered. You're triggered watching lacrosse. That's not how you spend your
Saturday. Exactly. I was legit just asking a question. And I guess I went back and looked at the tweet. I was like, maybe the tone of it could be interpreted like I was like, what? Why would Duke be doing this? And that wasn't the case. It was legit just a question. But it just kind of, like I said, got me thinking that it's either you support veterans and everything veterans do, and there's just a blanket, I'm going to defend veterans no matter what.
And or, not an electric blanket.
Right. Or you hate veterans. There's I don't know. It's just a bigger issue, I think, right now.
If you point out things with America that aren't great, it's like, well, you must hate America. It's like, no, I actually love this country so much that
that's
I wanna,
how you get better.
I don't want to pick it apart a little bit and see what could possibly be done. I don't know, but
the part that bothers me is almost like now it's, and I don't want it to seem like I'm against veterans because obviously everybody knows I'm not, but it's almost like we're being used as pawns. So it's like, oh, if you get a veteran behind you, so like you just have to support whatever your cause is because like, oh, it's for a veteran, and I don't know, that feels icky.
I've even had people defend me. People have defended me like, you can't say that to her. She's a veteran. And it's like, no, you can shit on me. Me being a veteran doesn't mean I'm like immune to like anything. It's not a special magical thing that makes me a good person at all, but in any way. So,
No, I think it does. I think there's part of it that does make you, you know, you sacrificed for your country. You served your country. I think that aspect
But I think there's a duality to it. You can be a veteran who's done really great things and also be a shitty person. Or maybe you're not a shitty person, but you can be a veteran but also make mistakes or be wrong about things.
Right.
Like, there's no... It's not like some
magic just because you were a veteran doesn't mean you get a blanket pass for the rest of your life to do as you please. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like what I saw this weekend and what we were seeing, I think, a little bit.
Yeah.
And it bothers me that we've lost that nuance to have a conversation. And it just it feels like our community, our veteran community, is being, I don't want to say weaponized, is maybe that's the right word. I don't know.
No, it's the right word.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I think it's the right word, yeah.
So,
and it's been happening for a long time. It'll continue to happen no matter which side you need to use. If it's either the military is too woke and can't win and fight wars, or we need to let people kill folks in the subway and then support them with a $2 million GoFundMe. It's either way. You can't do both. Like, you can't say we're either woke as fuck and a worthless military and or... we're the greatest people who ever lived, and everything we said is gospel. I can't have both.
Hmm.
All right, anything else, Cons?
No, that's it.
All right, I got a couple things. I'll try to fly through them pretty fast. One, you guys know I've been doing Discovery Plus, talking about my beloved Discovery Plus shows. One of the ladies, Tuna Tina, she decided this
week. Her name's Tuna Tina?
That's what we call her. Yeah, old Tuna Tina. Tuna Tina.
That's a great name.
It really is. Tuna Tina. Saw somebody's, one of her other friends, post, and this person went to a Luke Combs concert, and there was a couple that was sitting next to him at the Luke Combs concert. One of these people was a huge biggin, like these people on 1,000-pound Sisters. So the couple next to the biggin was like, hey, you're in my seat a little bit. Like, you're kind of crushing me over here, because they were spilling over their seat. They said that they were being fat-phobic. I disagree, man. Like, if you're going to a game and you have your seat, I shouldn't be uncomfortable because you're fat. It's the same thing if you are a liar. If you walk onto a plane and somebody's fat sitting next to you and you're in the middle seat, you know it's going to be miserable. So if you have that and you're concerned, buy two seats. Like, buy two seats or don't go. You're not entitled to go to a fucking Luke Combs concert. You shitting me? If you don't want to be fat shamed, don't go. Simple as that.
Yeah. You know what I've said for a while now? And this will never happen because there's probably some discriminatory laws against it. But I really wish we could input our height and weight when we buy a plane ticket and then it shuffles
you around like logistics. Like, we got a little lady like Annalise over here. Let's put her next to a huge biggin.
Did
you know there's roller coasters now with seats for biggins?
Oh.
For white people? Yeah. But that's a tough line to have to wait in, I feel like.
I like Kate said biggins right there. That was nice, Kate. Well, way to go. Is it biggins a nice way to say super obese, morbidly obese? I think so.
I think super obese or morbidly obese is probably the scientific way, but it is a nice way.
I think vegan is more kind,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I am empathetic to it because I'm about to gain a ton of weight, so I don't know.
Oh, but stop it. You're not going to be morbidly obese.
I had to climb
obese.
Out of the back of my car at Mount Sinai Hospital once. The parking was so tight I couldn't get out the door. So
you have a lot of bad experiences in hospital parking lots, like that time you lost your vision.
Yes, yeah. The VA, Bronx VA. I had to pull right up and leave my car out front. Couldn't see a damn thing. Mm.
All right, second. This one's super fast. Me and McCartney's first swim was this weekend. Get in. We're going to play, obviously, we don't play horse. We play like ding dong or shit or something like that. Just the fun word.
That's a great point. You can use any word.
Anything. You don't have to use
any
horse.
Any word works.
Yeah, sometimes we'll use like, we use one word. Time, diarrhea was the word. And it's good for spelling for a little kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyways, so we are sitting in the pool and I was like, let's figure out a way to spice it up. And McCartney out of nowhere goes, let's do 2 out of 3. Whoever wins the 2 out of 3, the other person has to call the other person Your Majesty for the rest of the day. And I was like, I fucking love it. And usually I'll let McCartney get close. Domination this time. And McCartney was so pissed, like walking through the house. And I was like, go pick up your room. It's time to clean up your room now that we're done swimming. Like, okay, Dad. Okay, what? Yes, Your Majesty. It was fantastic. Highly recommend that. And third, huge. I know Cons isn't going to like this. Huge shout out to the Navy. Do you know why? Did you see what they did? They are now, they have a pilot program, not for pilots. They have a pilot program to bring like golden retrievers and dogs like that onto aircraft carriers and ships for the people that are on there to have like a morale booster.
Wow.
Like a service dog, a therapy dog on a ship. Fantastic idea.
Imagine
credit
being,
where it's due. That's a great idea.
Imagine
it's
being
great
a golden idea. Retriever who loves sticking your head out the Jeep window, but you get to do that on an aircraft carrier.
You go up front with it like Rose and Leo. You're like, the golden retriever is the king of the world.
That
would be amazing, man. Every unit should have one. Especially high, like op tempo. Yep. If you had that, you're on a C-130. We all remember what it was like going on a deployment. The red lights come on. It's a lot better if you have a golden retriever looking in your face and you feel a little puffy breath.
Anything that recognizes the morale of troops in those situations is cool with me. I think that's awesome. Love it.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. That's it. We'll see you next week. Sound the retreat.